Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, August 22nd. I'm Alan Chartok, not Ray Graff. On today's program, the Copyright Forum, joining me in the studio are Paul Rapp, Polly Law, and Bill Westwood. They're here to answer your questions about protecting your writing, music, and art. You know, somebody who stole your poem, you think, or your article and showed up in a big artsy magazine? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Paul, Polly, Bill, and much more, all coming up on the Vox Pop right after the news. And I want to say again, I know you wrote that poem and I know you think someone stole it. 1-800-348-2551. Hello once again and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. On today's show, it's the Copyright Forum. To answer your questions, we have a great panel in the studio. Paul Rapp is an intellectual property lawyer and writer in the Berkshires. He represents musicians, writers, fine artists, and businesses involved in the creative economy. He lectures widely on intellectual property issues and wrote a column for Metroland. Bill Westwood is one of the country's leading medical illustrators and a professional member and past president of the Association of Medical Illustrators. Big stuff. Polly Law is the past president of the Graphic Artists Guild, an organization focused on the rights of artists. She's a designer, illustrator, and artist whose works are in numerous private collections represented by galleries in Rhinebeck, New York, along with Provincetown and Nantucket, Massachusetts. Paul, Bill, Polly, welcome back to the Vox Pop.
Thanks. Thank you. Give us a call,
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You guys all want to make one sentence before we proceed? Do you have a sentence you want to make?
Sure. I have a show opening on Nantucket at the Art Association of Nantucket, opening on September 2nd and running through the month. I hope people will go to see it. The title of it is Due East.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks. Paul?
What have I got?
What's the rap on you?
I was just invited to talk to the local Association of Audio Engineers on September 11th at Joshua Mirsky's studio there on Washington Avenue.
Interesting.
Cool. That came in this morning as I was driving in.
Interesting. There's a lot of Mirskys in my family.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any information or news today, so... What
but
can
you're
I tell
here.
You? But I'm here.
Thank goodness. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Let the games begin. John in Woodstock, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I found a postcard that I think is from the 50s or 60s. It says on the back, copyrighted Ulster Art Card, Woodstock, New York. And I just Googled them. I didn't find much, but I'm wondering if it is from the 50s or 60s, what do you know about that as far as rights?
Well, it's still under register. Well,
it might be.
That would be Universal Copyright Convention.
He's right there in the in-between part.
Yeah.
You know, if it was after 1964, it probably still is covered by copyright protection. It was before that. It might be if the copyright owner renewed, because at the time it was a 28-year registration period with a 28-year renewal. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the next question is if Ulster Art Card
is still in existence,
is not around anymore, there might not be anybody that cares. You know, I'd suggest if you want to use it, just to do a little digging and find out what happened to that company, and if there are heirs or, you know, somebody who at least, you know, possibly might own the rights, you could just ask them if you could use it, and they'll probably say yes.
Okay, I'm having a little trouble hearing you, but there's no date on it, and I might like to reproduce it, and I just don't know how to research it or if I need to get an attorney.
How do you want to use it?
Possibly, it's a work. It's an etching of the Woodstock Library, and maybe as a fundraiser for the library or something like that.
Okay.
Paul had a good idea. Perhaps you didn't hear it properly, but he said to dig into the internet and see what you can find about the company that produced it. And maybe even ask the library. Someone there may know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody says they've never seen this work of art. They've never seen the etching, and they've never seen the card.
That's up. And then and there's no signature on the etching. There's nothing other than the copyright notice.
Oh, no, the artist is there, William H. McCready. He's a known artist, but no one knows of this actual etching of the library.
Well, he's the one who probably, you know, owns the copyright. If you could find him or his heirs, I think that would be the sort of direct line to getting permission.
The artist, as opposed to the Ulster Art Card Company.
Yes, and just he can tell you what the status of the copyright will probably be.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks,
great.
John.
Good luck.
All right, and now over to Bob in Clifton Park. All right, Bob, your turn.
Good afternoon. I usually put a copyright notice on the file name of photographs that I distribute to people for various reasons. And it would say something like copyright 2014 and then my name. If I go back and edit that photo in 2017, do I change the date?
I don't think you have to, because you're creating a derivative work of your own work. And so the original copyright would cover it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I've seen sometimes, we've all seen, you know, notices with two dates on them, which will reflect both the original and the edits. It's not a legal requirement to do this anymore, but it's as you know, it's a good idea. But I don't think it matters. And if you were going to, if you're going to put one instead of the other, I'd put the original date on the earlier date.
Yeah, that's one you have registered. So yeah. That's one.
Have you registered it?
I usually don't. I do thousands of images.
Right.
And it's just impractical.
Yeah.
And none of these have very much in the way of economic value.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think you're good either way.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. And now to Margo in Great Barrington. Hi, neighbor. What you got?
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
I have a question for my daughter. She's a budding TV writer. She applied for a job. She had to send in a treatment. And they made her sign a waiver saying if they made a TV show that used material similar to what she submitted, she couldn't sue them. Well, she didn't get the job, but one of the programs did.
Uh-oh. She faded. Okay, so she faded, but you got the question, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
I'm shocked.
Shocked, I tell you.
Shocked.
Yeah. There's gambling going on here. Yeah, right.
I don't see that she has any recourse. She signed away her rights.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Signing the waiver, it's like having an arbitration clause be forced on you. Once you sign that, your options are limited.
But it's not nice.
No,
but, not at all.
But that's as the great singer Bert Sumner used to say, that's showbiz, babe. it happens all the time. You know, it could be that they already had something similar in the works. There are so many plot lines to go around, but I kind of doubt it. I think they just out and out stole.
Could she possibly file a complaint with the Producers Guild? She wouldn't get any restitution or anything from it, but at least just to get it on the record that this person is a bad actor.
Yeah, but would she get her own name on an S list?
Yeah.
There's that.
Possibly.
Yeah.
That's a drag.
Okay, we're going to Bill in Pownell. Okay, Bill in Pownell, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a photographer, and about 15 years ago, I attended an outdoor art installation in Central Park. And I photographed it, and I would like to now put together my pictures as a my own photographic exhibition and possibly sales. So what is my obligation to the original artist who did the installation in Central Park?
You mean Christo?
Yes.
How'd I know that?
Yeah. It was a public space.
It was a public space, and,
right.
You know, I think that Christo's rights might start to to be affected if you were mass producing posters. But if it's more art than commerce, I think you're going to be okay, because it was in a public space. You know, a lot of people were taking photographs of as they do for everything that Christo does, and and selling them. You know, and you know, Christo can't stop you from taking pictures of stuff that he installs, nor would he want to.
Arguably, it could be transformative use too.
What does that mean?
It means that if you take someone's work and you modify it enough, and the enough is the big question, it could be considered transformative fair use.
I see.
So,
well,
Bill Westwood talking transformative fair use.
It doesn't mean I like it. It means I understand it.
But
it drives me crazy.
If it's not transformed enough,
well, and
it's
that's
derivative.
And that's the, but go back to the Prince stuff. I mean, that, in my opinion, was not transformed enough.
No.
But the court said it was transformative.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bill. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have another question about this, though. Is it in my best interest to at least try and get the artist's permission to do this?
No, I don't. And what you're going to do, like a gallery show? Or
Yeah,
there's no reason to get Christo's okay.
No. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, great. Thank
you. Thanks very much. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WMC comes from Maybe Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, presenting the annual Arts and Crafts Festival featuring handmade arts and crafts, jewelry, clothing, pottery, baskets, soaps, and more this Saturday, 10 to 3, schenectadyhistorical.org. Kent Hex Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations, serving Western Massachusetts for over 25 years. KentHexConstruction.com. Gazebo, Northampton, Massachusetts, an independent lingerie shop specializing in bra and post-mastectomy fittings, providing support to the Pioneer Valley for almost 40 years. The-gazebo.com. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, supplying the greater capital region with custom display solutions, commercial casework, and interactive exhibits for trade shows, special events, and museum exhibitions. EmpireExhibits.com. And the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com.
And here we are, back in the studio with our very good friends, Polly and Paul and Bill, and they're answering your questions. If you have, you know, if you have a protective question, if something bad happened to you, if you wrote a poem or essay or somebody used your work, or if you want to use somebody else's work, now's the time to call. 1-800-348-2551. And we will go to Diane in Poughkeepsie. Diane in Poughkeepsie, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just calling about my daughter, similar to the last caller that got disconnected there. She's 14, but she's a budding artist, and she has her work out mostly on Instagram. She posts pictures. And I know that people have been interested in asking her to do drawings for her in the past. Like drawings for them, like businesses or something like that. How can she copyright her stuff, you know, her photos or her drawings so that they're protected and that they're really hers? I know nothing about this because she's so young and I don't know where to start, really.
Well, she can't sign a contract at the age of 14.
No.
But she can own a copyright.
Right. She can own a copyright. So she needs, or you together, you know, make a cup of hot cocoa and sit down and go to copyright.gov because you're going to be there for a bit. You're going to you're going to go to the visual arts section and just start filling it in. Now, she can take a whole pile of her works and do them all under one registration. She should just make sure to keep a list for herself of what is in that group.
And probably, I mean,
what does she do? Scan photos and send them in?
Yeah. Set up an account with the electronic filing system, and be very patient because it's very confusing and poorly designed. But if you take a lot of deep breaths, you can get through it, and you can upload an unlimited number of JPEGs. Of visual art, and it's all, you can do it all for $155 application.
The other thing I would suggest she do is to put a copyright notice on each of her works.
Is that the C with the circle? Is that what you mean?
Yep.
Yes.
The year, and then her name. And that should be on each of the works that she's protecting, to provide notice to the public, should her work be out there, that it's protected.
I personally prefer to make sure that my copyright notice is where it cannot be cropped out of the image.
I
put it smack dab across the center of the image, but then I fade it out so that it's barely visible, and then I flatten the image so that it's embedded.
So why would anybody want to buy anything by you if, in fact, you screwed it all up?
No, that's just online.
That's to show.
The actual art is untouched. It's,
If you're going to put it out online, that's called watermarking, and you want to provide notice that makes it more difficult, not impossible, but more difficult for somebody to, say, steal that and use it without some acknowledgement that it's protected.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say, guys, just for the heck of it, let's just say, just let's say that somebody, in fact, steals one of your things and you catch them at it. Now, that involves a lot of work, doesn't it, on your part? You got to go find a lawyer. You got to sue them or something.
Well, I just happen to know an IP lawyer.
Yes, I happen to know someone, too.
Yes.
But he has to be paid. He's already looking very paid.
But this is why registering is so important. Because if I don't register my images and I go to Paul... Yeah. And he finds out I have not registered the images, he's going to say, well, tough luck.
Okay. But I get that.
I have no recourse.
I get that. I get that. But Polly, you do what you're supposed to do, and now you got to pull. You got to pay the guy. You got to pursue it.
No.
If the work is registered prior to infringement, then... There are attorneys, and I don't want to put Paul in this position, but there are copyright attorneys that will take the work or take your case, and they will absorb the cost of the lawsuits except for out-of-pocket expenses. Their fee is much higher, but nonetheless, you don't have to pay money out-of-pocket to pursue this.
Yeah, where you have a registered copyright and it's infringed, the infringer can be forced to pay the winner's attorney's fees. If I ever have a client who's been accused of infringement, and it looks like there has been some infringement, and the other side has a registered copyright, I tell my clients, settle this immediately, on whatever terms you can get, because otherwise it's going to be a pure hell going forward.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Go ahead, Diane. I just have a quick, if she's doing a drawing, could she put the copyright emblem right within the drawing somewhere, like you said, so it couldn't be cropped out, but like right in? I mean, I know they could probably just Photoshop it and erase it. If it's tiny, though, maybe somebody wouldn't notice it within the drawing,
would that still protect it? One of the defenses would be, if that were done, if someone infringed it, one of their attorney's defenses would be, well, it was non-willful. We couldn't see the copyright. We didn't see it. Yeah. How are we expected to see this tiny thing? No, it's better to have it where it's obvious and clear.
Diane, you got a whole bunch of people behind you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. Bye. All right.
Okay, now we're going to go to Michael in Amherst. All right, Michael in Amherst, you're on.
Hi, you all. Thank you for taking my call. My career goes back to the late 1960s, so there's a number of publications that my work has been in, and I have to say that I was negligent in never really copywriting my work. But now, if I wish to do so, one of the questions that they ask is, were they published and when?
Right.
If I don't fill that portion in, because for me, I would never have an accurate account of where and when these things were if it had to be anywhere near exact. Am I invalidating my protection by ignoring that portion?
Yes. Particularly works that were published before 19. First, they'll demand to know when it was first published. And the fact is, if it was published before 1990 and there was not a copyright notice on it, on the work, it immediately goes into the public domain for anything pre-1990. So it sounds like they've got you both ways.
So I should just not really bother to copyright a lot of those images that go back before 1990?
Yeah. Unless you can get a hold of the original magazine and see if they put a copyright notice on somehow.
Which they probably did.
Yeah, which they may have.
And that would be copyrighted under the publisher's copyright?
Probably, yeah, with you as the author.
Everything after 1990, what's the case for that?
No requirement of putting a copyright notice on. That was not a prerequisite of registration, or you know, or things didn't fall into the public domain if they got published without a notice. So,
I don't need to come up with a publication date for anything after 1990.
You'll still need a date,
right?
They're always going to want to know the date of publication if it has been published. If it hasn't been published, you don't need to put a date in.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. We'll go to John in Troy. All right, John in Troy, you're on.
Hi. Two questions. One, does one or can one copyright or trademark a phrase?
Only if it represents this, like any trademark, represents the source of a commercial good or service. A phrase that's just, you know, that doesn't represent a good or service, no, you can't. That's unprotectable.
And you can't copyright a phrase.
Correct.
Okay. The other question is, if one comes up with a phrase, a very clever phrase, that that incorporates a corporate name. Well, let's say Microsoft is wonderful. Can one copyright that or trademark it?
No.
Using a corporate name in it?
Microsoft could, but yeah. You can't.
Yeah, I think you would be violating their trademark if you did that.
I think so. I think only if, unless it was incredibly obvious that it wasn't them. But that, you're still going to get into trouble with disparagement and likelihood of confusion and stuff like that. So, and we are talking about trademarks here, not copyrights, because a short phrase can't be copywritten because it's too minimal.
So a clever phrase would be trademarked.
Only if it represents trade. Only if it represents some kind of a commercial activity.
Yeah, I mean, I've had clients that have come up with funny little phrases that they put on T-shirts, and you know, a couple of times I've tried to register the copyrights, and they say no, it's too short, it's not creative enough, and we get around it by naming, you know, like a T-shirt company, the phrase. You know, mm-hmm. you just name the company so that. The phrase is actually the name of the company that's making T-shirts, and that's kind of how you thread the needle.
Now, if the phrase that you named the company after includes a corporate name, like Jell-O or Michael or Ivory Soap or something, Is that a problem with the owner of the
probably
the corporate
yes.
name?
Probably.
Like we said before, yes.
Yeah.
Probably.
And even if there was some wrinkle by which you might legally be able to get it through, they, you know, especially the big trademark holders, will beat you up mercilessly in order to get to that point. I mean, they zealously protect. I mean, the trademarks are hugely valuable to them, and they will go to sometimes, absurd ends to protect them.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, bye. And now on to Janet in Rhinebeck. Okay, did I mess up? Did I mess up? No. Mm. We took a break at 20 after, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Okay, here we go. Sorry about that, folks. Well, let's go to Janet in Rhinebeck. Janet, you're on.
Alan.
Yes.
Oh, it's Janet in Rhinebeck.
Of course you are. Of course,
Alan and chums.
Of course you are. Yeah,
oh, my God, I've only been on hold for like 2.5 days.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
No,
right.
This is sort of a rhetorical situation. Many years ago, I wound up buying, even in a thrift shop, a well-known artist's etching. And I had just moved to Woodstock, and I took it to the framing shop to get a new, pane of glass. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, I came back in a week, and around the store, the shop, they had blown up segments of this etching.
Mm-hmm.
And, like they took the woman's head. Okay,
right.
And they blew that picture up. That they photographed all these things off of my property, basically. And for a New York girl, and the fact that I didn't say rip that stuff down, give me the negatives, and it's just stuck in my craw. It's like way past being able to do anything about. But I mean, it was certainly not. It had nothing to do with my work. But what I'm saying is,
yeah.
Right.
That
but
if you own an item and you take it, I mean, they're literally stealing from you, aren't they?
No, they're stealing
really?
from the original artist.
Right.
Not you. When you purchase an artwork, whether you purchase it in a gallery.
Okay.
Or...
Right. Okay.
But it is unethical. It's highly unethical.
No, it was. I mean, but I was so new to Woodstock, I didn't want to make waves.
Yeah.
You can't make bad vibes in Woodstock.
For a New York girl, I surprised myself to this day. But it has always really bothered me. The one person I knew worked at the library, and I went in and I said, this is what happened. And she said, go in, demand the negative.
No, you had no right to them.
Oh, yeah, you do. Because it's unethical.
You
take something to get framed, and they're making copies of your work. Of course, you have the right to do that.
She doesn't own the copyright to the
I know.
Whoa, one at a time.
I said it's not copyright infringement, but it's unethical, and you can certainly blow the whistle on them loudly.
Oh well, I think 30 years later, I think my whistle thing doesn't even work anymore. Okay, thanks for taking my call. I know that I was not absolutely appropriate to the subject. But
oh, yeah, it is.
That was a good question.
Well, if somebody else gets ripped off like that, I think that they should blow a whistle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, at least, write to the town paper and ruin their reputation.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, they don't. Okay, never mind.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you. You've been very patient.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Thanks for not hanging up on me, Alan.
No, I try not to.
No, you came very close.
You can go on Yelp. That's what you can do. Go
okay,
on Yelp.
I can't go on anything. I only found out what a modem was the other day. I was having trouble with something, and I said, underneath your modem. And I said, is that the twinkly thing?
There you go, Jack.
So I don't even know what Yelp is. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's 30 years ago. All right, it was just my craw has had this thing stuck in it for a long time.
That's clear. Thank you very
Thank
much,
Thank you.
Jack.
Well, have a lovely day.
Bye.
Thanks so much.
Okay, so it's 1-800-348-2551. Let's sneak another one in before we have to go to the break and then the last third of the program. We'll go to Barbara in Albany. Okay, Barbara, you're on.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question about college writing curriculum. It's a real specific one. I wrote some curriculum for college about 5 years ago. I got paid. My contract was nice. And I learned how to read nice contracts from some guy named Paul Rapp. So,
okay. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Yeah, you've dealt with some of my odd problems over the years. It said that I could sell the curriculum anywhere else I wanted, but that they also had the right to use it for 10 years. And I asked them what happens after 10 years, and they said, we don't have a clue.
They're honest.
Surprised me. Yeah, honestly, that's what they said. They said, we don't have a clue. I said, but I'm going to be keeping track of the years. I kind of assume that at the end of 10 years, they have to rebuy it if they want to use it, yes?
Sure sounds like it.
If it's still applicable.
Yeah, it's a contract, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no, but the curriculum may be way...
The creative writing.
But essentially, yeah. she licensed that for use for a 10-year period.
For 10 years. So they need to re-up the license?
If they still want to use it, yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of where I mean, were you... You were an employee of the institution, right?
A contract employee. I was not a full-time employee.
Okay.
What did your contract say about...
Said after 10 years.
The contract is the one they gave me.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like after 10 years, they'd have to come back and make a new deal.
My calendar.
Yeah.
Okay, Barbara, thank you.
I think it's important that, you know, people who write curriculum are aware of it kind of as an intellectual property.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they're liberal. I'm kind of surprised they just didn't say, okay, we're going to own it lock, stock, and barrel, because a lot of institutions do that.
I would have.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot. Okay, bye, Barbara. I try not to hang up on people because then they get mad at you. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
All right, that out.
Support for WMC comes from Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival, presenting Friday Night Live, featuring Adirondack Klezmer and Jazz Band, Friday, August 25th, 7 p.m., at Congregation Beth Shalom, saratogajewishculturalfestival.org for details. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. collegestreetmotors.com. Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. The Arkell Museum at Kenningeharie, presenting Truth is the Only Safe Ground to Stand Upon, Portraits of Suffragists by Christine Heller, a centennial celebration, ArkellMuseum.org. And Wild Bird Junction, 308 Delaware Avenue, Delmar, offering wild bird seed, bird feeders, bird houses, bird baths, binoculars, nature gifts, and garden decor, where people and nature come together. WildBirdJunction.com.
Oh, if you want to get in, now's the time to do it. You know what I mean? So just saying, if you want to get in, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We'll go now to Kim in Collinsville. Kim in Collinsville, your turn.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually from Collinsville.
Oh, all I know is what it says on the screen here. And what it says on the screen here is Collinsville. So you'll have to take it up with a call screener.
I actually have a two-part question for you. I know nothing about copyright or anything like that, but this is actually a question for my daughter, who is 20. She has her own band. She's very talented as far as writing music and playing. The first question is, as far as her band, if she is the sole writer, but they are making music together, does she have to put copyrights, or how does that actually work so that it's her work and she can take it if she decides to go, or if a band member decides to leave, they can't say, you can't play that music?
Right. If she wrote, you know, the lyrics and the melody without, you know, and the rest of the guys, you know, were just playing drum parts, bass parts, guitar parts around it. She's going to be the sole songwriter, and she should simply register her songs with the Copyright Office. If it's a situation where she comes in and, you know, she goes, I've got an idea for a song and I want it to go something like this, and everybody kind of contributes, meaningfully contributes to the words and the melody, well, then maybe they can get a share of the songwriting, and that's just a matter of agreement of what percentage everybody gets. But, you know, if she comes in with fully formed songs, she's going to be the sole songwriter, and she should register herself as the songwriter with the Copyright Office.
Tell it to Yoko Ono and McCartney.
Yeah.
My second part to the question is, as a member of the band, if somebody on the outside takes pictures of that band and then and sends it to them, you know, via the internet or whatever, does she have to ask for permission to use that photo, like in a newspaper article or something promoting the band?
She should.
Yes. Yes. And even if somebody posts it on their social media site and says, look, here's a picture I took of you last night, if they want to republish that in any commercial sense, they're going to have to get permission from the photographer, because the photographer retains the copyright.
Okay, even if the photographer isn't actually a professional photographer, if it's just somebody, you know, in the crowd?
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Really? Okay.
Thanks,
all right,
Kim.
Good to know. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Bye.
You too.
Okay, and now we're going to, yes, Robin in Cooperstown, of all places. Go ahead, Robin.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a little story that I think pertains to your topic today. Probably 30 years ago, down on I-88 near Oneonta, there was an old barn, and somebody had painted, very well done, a picture of Snoopy on top of the barn. So he sort of looked like he was laying down on top of his doghouse. And it was there for a number of years. You know, people enjoyed it when they went by. And then the wrong person saw it, and they were told that they would have to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And they, I think, made some efforts to see if they could keep it up in some way. Somebody suggested they could pay a dollar maybe and, you know, just keep it there on display. And they were told no, they absolutely had to take it down. They couldn't afford to keep it up there. And so they sadly had to paint it over, but in place of Snoopy, they wrote the words "dog gone."
That's funny. Yeah. What about all those guys who, you know, alter, take photographs of other famous people, you know, and make a fortune, millions of dollars on that? Why can't somebody do that with a dog?
Well, actually, I don't think you can do that necessarily. You get into all kinds of things like, you know, rights of publicity and things like that,
yeah,
and with famous people.
30 years ago, Snoopy was basically the spokesperson for MetLife Insurance.
Right.
And so
still is, actually, to some degree.
Is he? Still?
Yeah.
The Schultz family has lightened up quite a bit on their intellectual property rights, but for a long time there, they were pretty harsh, and they would do things.
Yeah,
like
I think
that,
people had hoped that they would lighten up and just let it there because it was very attractive and well done.
Yeah.
But they had to get rid of it.
That ain't right. Okay, thank you very much for your call. All right, now I'm looking to see who's next online, and that would be Jerry in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Okay, Jerry, you're on.
Oh, hi, everybody. How are you?
Good.
Well,
good. Thank you for taking my call. I'm kind of a motivational speaker kind of person, although I don't really like that phrase. Usually I use cognitive entertainer. And people hire me to give lectures and seminars. And often I'll demonstrate how we humans learn things and develop neural pathways by playing the ukulele. So I've got some songs that are public domain, and there are others that are probably still in copyright, even though they're from the 1920s and 30s. If I am giving an educational lecture to a private group that hires me, can I play copyright material under those circumstances, or am I violating copyright?
I just wouldn't put it into your TED presentation when you do
that. No, I would not. I would not put it into the TED presentation.
I wouldn't put it on YouTube. Although for songs that old, you know, you'll probably be okay. But you know, if you're doing it for private presentations, so just keep doing it. And
okay,
if somebody finds out and they're upset, they'll tell you to stop. You know.
Okay. Well, what if it's recorded by the client? For in-house use, like if they're going to play it back for other people who work for the company?
I don't see a problem with that.
I wouldn't publicly post any of these things personally, even though there are a lot of guitarists and ukuleleists and even banjo players that that will post non-original music on YouTube.
Even banjo players.
What is the world coming to?
I know.
I think you're going to be okay. I mean, things have gotten much looser in regard to that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know, and there's even a fair use argument for how you're doing it. You know, you're playing a song to show something other than what the song stands for. And so that's right. Certainly sounds transformational to me.
Well, you know, the first song I ever learned on the ukulele was Ukulele Lady. And I think it took me about 25 or 30 hours in 5 to 10 minute increments to learn the song. And now I learn a song, it takes me about an hour because I've been doing it for a number of years and my brain is used to it now.
There you go.
Well, Arlo plays that song. Hey, goodbye. Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
I'm motivated. Care. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see here. Myron in Monticello. Hello, Myron.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I got a question about Woodstock and Yazgur Farm. I took a picture, beautiful picture, I might say, of the Yazgur milk bottle in a beautiful setting, and I've been selling it in different places and with no problem. One place, a more established facility, they said since they assume Yazgur Farm is protected trademark, so they said they wouldn't take it unless I had a release from the owners of the Yazgur Farm trademark.
No, because you're not selling milk. They would have a trademark if they had one, and they're not even around anymore. I mean, there's a performing arts center.
Well, someone did buy the rights to Yazgur Farm
to their logo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But a photograph of it is perfectly fine. You know, again, I think if you started selling T-shirts, you know, with your photograph on it, that might cross the line. But if you're selling art pieces and cards and stuff, I think you're perfectly fine.
Okay, Myron, you got your answer. Thank you. And now on to Susan in New York, New York. Okay, Susan, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about an intellectual property rights, I believe. And I am a professional photographer and an author, published author, and a photo illustrator. I use my photos to illustrate my books. And I was approached by someone unpublished asking me if I would collaborate, which I agreed to. It was a vague idea that I helped develop, put it into a form, took photos to go with the text. She was considered the author. We had a 50-50 verbal agreement, author to illustrator. And an agent was interested. We were getting ready to show it to sell. And I got a contract from her, written by her lawyer, that she owned the property and that I could get 50% of book sales, but I would not get subrights, royalties, and she could use my photos any way she wanted going forward and without my name. I'm working on a variation, not the same book at all, and I'm calling. I know she can't legally use my photos, but can she use them to show, to sell the idea, and can she sue me going forward?
What would she sue you for?
Stealing her ownership, which isn't
you can't,
true anyway.
You can't copyright an idea. You can copyright the practical
expression
of the idea, like a book.
Or photos.
Or photos. But you can't copyright the general idea behind the book. And you are under no obligation to accept the contract that she gave you. You could counter.
Nope.
You could counter with your own contract.
Right. The contract is after the fact.
And yeah, and she can't use your photographs. She can't display your photographs without your permission. You're the copyright holder.
Yeah, and this seems to me to happen.
Right. So my biggest concern is because I hired an entertainment lawyer. Mm-hmm. Who spoke to her lawyer, who threatened to sue me if I did any book going forward.
He's just...
Register your copyrights to your photos.
Yep.
Right away, if you haven't already done so. And I would stand up to that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yep.
And next time, get it written in a contract.
Right.
At the beginning.
I know. Yeah. I learned the hard way. But how do I register the photos?
You go to copyright.gov and follow the prompts for
electronic filing and send them JPEGs, you know, fairly low res JPEGs of the photographs. And you can probably register them all
as a single group.
Yeah.
For one fee.
Okay. And what would the price be about for that?
$55
and then a whole lot of aggravation because the website's horrible. But
pour yourself a glass of wine and sit down and
you can work your way through it. It's not impossible. It's just frustrating, and you know you can go actually if you have problems you can go open up another browser and ask the question and there'll be answers. You know, what do I do for this question?
Thank you, Susan. Okay, that's Susan. Now let's go to Gary in Walden. We're running out of time here.
Wow.
Go ahead, Gary in Walden. You're on.
Hello there. Nice to talk to you. Copyright notice, and I'm.
You're breaking up.
You're breaking
up. You're cutting
it up. Gary, you're breaking up. I'm sorry, Gary. Next time we're going to get you. Okay, and now we're going to go to. Jen in Bolton. Okay, Jen in Bolton, you're on.
Hi there. So I make slideshows, mostly just private sales, birthdays, and campgrounds. But I put it to music, like well-known songs, typical things you hear. And there's some local funeral homes. They do services with slideshows. I was thinking of doing that, but I was wondering at what point am I possibly infringing on the music rights?
The minute you attach it to the slideshow.
Yeah.
So even just private, couple people, just home use, anything?
Home use is going to be fine.
Technically not okay.
But when you start to commercialize it and use it at, like, you know, a funeral home, that's a commercial use, and they probably should...
getting paid for
and,
it.
And you're getting
paid
for
it. So we would have
to
buy the rights to each of the songs. And I mean, is that an expensive thing, though? Or?
Yeah, it's expensive and it's annoying. Although you can try. And there are music licensing services that have lesser well-known but appropriate music that you can tell them exactly what you're using it for, and they'll come back with a price. It'll be more reasonable. A hit song, they're probably just going to tell you no anyways, even if you found the person to ask.
Thanks, Jen. Okay, very quickly, we have no time. We're out of time. So I wanted to say, Richard wrote in. I'm going to read you his thing, and I need a one-sentence answer, okay? He paints Broadway scenery, goes in garbage at end of run. Someone is making purses out of it.
Wow.
He probably is work for hire.
Probably.
What does that mean?
He doesn't own the rights to that, to what
he
did.
Yeah, and once it goes in the garbage, it's pretty much abandoned anyways, kind of like that bull on Wall Street. It's just, it's there for the taking. So
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Okay.
But we're out of time. It's Tuesday, so we have a lot of underwriting announcements to read. We are just about out of time. And thanks to Bill Westwood, Polly Law, and Paul Rapp for joining us. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the barn at Egremont Village Inn, presenting Tangiers Blues Band on Friday, August 25th at 8 p.m., open for dinner at 5 p.m., theegremontbarn.com. And Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years. CNHArchitects.com, the Poughkeepsie Public Library District, a resource for creative problem solving, civic engagement, and personal enrichment. POKLIB.org. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, protecting the land that protects the lake, offering more than 32 miles of trails for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration. HikeLakeGeorge.org. And thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Thanks to Colleen O'Connell for answering the phones. Our producer is Jim Lewis. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.